this place is sanctified through your presence. Our time is sanctified through your presence, Lord. We just pray, God, that you come this morning and speak to every heart. Lord, we're not here to be seen ourselves or be heard ourselves, but we're here to hear from you. And so we ask, God, that you would perform your promises where you said that where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you would be in the midst. Lord, so we know you're here. So we just ask, God, that you would just take this service in your hands. We just surrender to you. We pray that you walk the aisles, touch every heart, every life. And we ask in Jesus' name. Genesis chapter 4. It's good to see each one of you here. Good to have our visitors here. Like Brother Daniel said, you come one time, the next time you're family. So as a visitor today, just make yourself at home and welcome among us. I always say when we have visitors, we're just common people. We're just country folk. So if you're coming here looking for any kind of a eloquent, well-educated, anything like that, that's, you're at the wrong place, because that's just not what's here. And I'm glad God doesn't require that. He just wants humble, sincere hearts. So Genesis chapter 4, we begin reading at verse 1, read to verse 5. And it says, "And Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstling of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell." I want to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 and 13. 1 Thessalonians 5. Paul speaking says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for the work their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." And then one more scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and in doctrine." Amen. So you may be seated. I want to, the title today, just one word, it's called respect. So, just want to talk to you a little bit about respect. You know, much of the message we call the message of the hour, it's the same message that God began to preach way back in the Garden of Eden and has come up through time. And the reason why we say it's the same message, because it's the same God, it's his same program. He knows what he's doing, he knows how he's unfolding things through history, and he knows exactly where he's taking it. And so it's one message, and so we realize there is a present day now what God is doing. Right? He's not doing exactly today what he did in Moses' day or Noah's day, but rest assured, there's something God's doing today, and that's what we're to be connected to. Mm-hmm. And so much of the message today, it's not for us so much to rally around what God did 2,000 years ago or something like that. You know, it's great. We appreciate everything. It required all the things that has happened. But the main focus today in the message of the hour is Christ in us, right? Because what good would it do for God to be God but not come and actually do something and you know, him begin to work in our lives and change us? And so much of it is the focusing on Christ in us and his life in us and how we can become a better people, become a people that only he can make us, right? You can try to be a better person yourself. But listen, to be what we need power from on high. Amen. And he's promised to give that to us. And so that's what one of the main focuses is. And of course, when Christ comes in, when Christ is living in your life, then he will touch every aspect of your life. He will change the way you live. He will change the way you treat others. He will change the way you treat yourself. Right? And he'll change the way you see life and the way you see things. Right? And you'll begin to understand that nothing can come across your pathway except God permitted it. And if God permitted it, then that's something he needs you to go through because he wants to build character in your life to make you more like him. So whatever you're going through right now, just remember, God knows about it, and it had to come across his desk, and he had to approve it, or it wouldn't be happening, right? We don't serve an unknown God or some weak God or some, he doesn't know what's going on. We serve God who knows exactly what's going on, and he is in supreme control, supreme power. Yeah. And so we know that. And so I want to talk to you this morning about respect, because I believe as the Holy Spirit begins to live in our lives, he will change us and cause us to understand and to have respect. And so we want to talk about that this morning. You know, there's different kinds of respect. I say different kinds of respect is respect, but there's, as we go through it, you'll understand what I mean. So there is one kind of respect, which is actually just inherent respect. Because you are what you are, because you're a child of God, then there's a certain amount of respect that's due you, right? Certain amount of respect that others should give to you just simply because you're another human being. There's a common respect that we should give to other people just because they're a human being, right? And so you find out there's a certain level of respect that should be there because they're a creation of God. I say that because each one, each person, whether it's a person, an animal, a sunset, whatever it is, all the portions of God's creation, they wouldn't be there unless God had put them there, and he put them there for a purpose.
Right.
If you look out and you see a beautiful sunset, God put that there for you to enjoy.
Amen.
Right? It wouldn't be there unless that higher power had created it and put it there, and he put it there for that purpose, that you might be able to enjoy it. He puts you here on this earth that you might have a purpose for him, right?
That's right.
And so just because of everything that God put into place, then there's a certain level of respect that should be given to everything that he has created. There's a proper level of what I'm talking about. And so even with animals in nature, so because they're creations of God. And so, you know, I remember hearing Brother Ram talking about when the possum that had been was dying and came to his house, walked up his house there, and how that the Lord, he prayed for it and the Lord healed it, and he got up and walked down the aisleway and so forth. And so his neighbors was trying to tell him, kill it, kill that thing, it's suffering, here it is, it's rotten, and, you know, where it's been hit or torn by dogs or hit by a car, whatever it was. And he said, I just can't do it. And they said, you're going to let that thing suffer? Brother Ben said, well, he said, you know, he said, I am a hunter, but I'm not a killer.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now think about that. As a hunter, you kill, mm-hmm. right? But there's a difference between hunting and just someone just killing something for no reason or something like that. And so you understand the purpose there. So when you should have a certain respect for nature and for things like that, that means, you know, having respect for it. If you need to kill the cow so you can have food on the table, that's fine. Respectfully do that. You understand all these things point to Christ and so forth. And if you remember in the Old Testament how that when someone would take a lamb and bring it to the priest, and the priest would have to slay that lamb, that process of that person of laying their hands on that head of that lamb, and when they would cut its throat and it was dying and struggling for life, that person would feel that struggle and that blood would get on them. And the whole idea there is that this lamb is dying for you. It's dying in your place or dying for you that you could have life. And God wants you to never lose what that means, that thing died for you and that you live because something suffered for you,
yeah.
Right? And so if you go out in the woods and you're hunting, you shoot a deer. A lot of us are hunters, right? We've done that. But you should always have a respect for that and realize that thing is just paid a price that you might, and just don't do it. Just go out there and just shoot and walk off, right? Mm-hmm. Respect God's nature. Respect God's people. Respect everything that God has put in place is what he wants. And so So you understand, you know, there's a difference between being a hunter and being a killer or something like that, and its purpose, right? It's to make sure that you're not abusing it. So another type of respect is respect that is given to someone because of the office they hold. Now, you could say that because they're human, but, you know, I said a while ago, just because you're human, you have a certain amount of respect that's due you because you're a human. But you have people who hold offices. You have mom, you have dad, you have siblings, you have uncles, aunts, pastors, deacons, trustees, policemen, whatever they are. And with those particular offices they hold, which have responsibilities and so forth, in those offices, there's another level of respect that's due that person just simply because of the office they hold and the responsibility they hold. Of course, they have to operate in that office in a capacity that can be respected. I say that because we have a lot of government officials that we should respect, but they don't live the way they should.
Right.
And they're not doing what they should. And so, you know, you have to, there's a certain proper living and proper filling of that office that has to be there in order for you to have the kind of respect that you should have for it. And so just as a mother, mother has a certain respect that's due her because of the position she holds, because of the responsibility, because of what she is and what she's done. And same way with dad.
Right.
Just brothers or sisters, there's a certain amount of respect you should have for your siblings just simply because of who they are as a member of your family.
Right.
Member of clergy, pastor or an associate minister or a deacon. All of these offices, all of these places, positions, they require a certain amount of respect. It's God requires it, and it is due, right? And so we see that. And then there's another kind of respect is a respect that is earned,
right?
Or, you know, not just inherent, but something you earn, because you have to earn some types of respect. But there are other, as I said, there's other respects that do you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you might say, I know this guy, and he's a renegade. But even if he's a renegade, there's a certain amount of respect that you should give to that person just simply because he's another human being.
Right?
Right? Because he wouldn't be here if God hadn't put him here. Maybe he is perverted, right? But there's a certain amount of respect that you give to all of God's people, all of God's creation.
Yeah.
But here's a respect that has to be earned. Years ago, I've said many times, I had a boss that I worked for several years. And I've never had a problem with jobs anywhere. I've never been fired. I've never been put on probation, anything like that. You know, so I don't have a track record. But this guy, his job was to make my day bad. And so they would give me reviews more often than they normally would. And every time I'd get a review, it was rants and raves. No problems. We love it. You're doing a great job. Everything's good. And they'd give me raises more than what normal people would get. I was getting them more often and getting bigger raises and got no negative marks on me at all. And this went on and on. But I had this boss that would treat me just extremely disrespectful. And so it was his boss's boss was the one that always did the review for me. And so, you know, I'd go in there and I'd say, you know, I don't want to deal with this guy. Is he just the way he treats me? And, you know, this went on several times. And so finally, one particular time I was in there and I said, you know, I just don't like being treated with disrespect, you know. And so my boss's boss, he said, well, you know, you don't just get respect. You have to earn it. And I understand that. There is a respect that you earn. You know, but what I said to him, I said, that's interesting. I said, you give me raises every time, more often, greater raises, nothing but rants and raves, and you're doing a great job. You wouldn't ask for anything more. And then you tell me I have to earn respect? You know? And it struck with him. Because just within a few days, my boss quit treating me that way. So 6 months later, when I go back in for another review, and I'm speaking to my boss's boss, I said, well, I think it's only fair. I come in here and pound on your desk telling you that something's wrong. I said, I think it's only fair that I come in and tell you that something changed.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't know What changed? But it was like flipping a light switch. He just stopped treating me that way. I said, I don't know what changed. And my boss's boss, he said, I know what changed. Kind of looked away. In other words, he went to my boss and said, you stop it. Because he understood. You've given this guy great reviews and great raises and nothing but positive marks, and yet you treat him disrespectfully.
Yeah.
See? So there is a type of respect that you have to earn, right? And so we understand that. But, you know, the scripture tells us, as we read there, to know those who labor among you, and the scripture says, he that ruleth well is worthy of double honor. So there are scriptures like that, and that's not just talking about in church. It's, we read scriptures about who are over you in the Lord and so forth. That's not just talking about in church. That's talking about in life.
Right.
All over, everywhere, right? And to know who people are, know those who labor among you, know their position, know what it is that they do for you and for the church and for your family, and know those things, those labors that are being done, know them, right? And give honor and respect that is due to that person and that office, for the office they're in and for the labors that they're doing and for the fact that they're another human being. God wants us to have respect toward one another and toward the things that he has made.
Yeah.
And so respect can actually go, it goes more than one way. It doesn't just go from, hey, children must respect their parents, but parents need to respect their children. You may have never thought about that, but you never, and may have never, never heard about that or whatever.
Yeah.
But see, I read the scripture there where Cain, because I want you to know, it said God had respect to Abel. He did not have respect to Cain because Cain's offering was wrong. But we know there's all kinds of scriptures about we should have respect to God's word and to his commandments and to his statutes and those sorts of things, to have respect for God. But God has respect for his people when they do what they're supposed to do and live right.
Yeah.
Right? So respect goes both ways. So from children to parents, but also parents to children. From the wife to their husband, but also the husband to the wife.
Right.
Yes, there's a respect that should be given both ways.
Yeah.
Right? And so we understand that. So I'm going to read a quote, and this is out of a sermon called Respect. And I want you to hear what the prophet said about this. He said, let us hear, he's quoting scripture, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the full duty of man. The conclusion of the whole matter is to fear God. And you cannot respect until you have fear. Now we're talking about respect this morning, but he's telling us you cannot respect until you have fear. You've got to have fear of God. Solomon said also in Proverbs that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Now, that doesn't mean that you're afraid of him. You hear me say all the time, a reverential respect. Fear God just means a reverential respect. You're not afraid, but you have a reverential respect for him. So the prophet's saying this same thing. He says, that doesn't mean that you will be afraid of him, but that means that you are giving him respect and reverence. And when you respect God, you fear God. You fear that you might displease him in some way. You fear lest you would do something wrong you wouldn't want to. Here's what the prophet says. I fear my wife. Whoa. Right? I fear my wife. He said, I fear my mother. I fear my wife. I fear my church. I fear all of God's servants, unless I should put a stumbling block somewhere in their way. I fear the people. I fear the people of the city, unless I should do something wrong that would cause them to think that I wasn't a Christian. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
See, before you can have respect, you've got to have fear. And God demands it. He demands respect. God does. He demands it. And fear brings it.
Right.
And we know that fear brings respect. He said, God demands respect for his servants. He said, his servants, how how we know that they are his servants is because he vindicates that his servants by his word. And he takes these servants and he makes them servants of God and proves that they are servants by making his word work through them as servants. Then as you respect that servant, you respect God. So when I respect you, you respect me. Now this is the prophet saying that. When I respect you, and I'll say that, when I respect you, right?
Yeah.
When I respect you, and you respect me, and we respect each other, then we're respecting God.
That's right.
Think about it. Why? Because you're a creation of God. He put you here for a reason. He put me here for a reason.
Right.
And God wants us to recognize and respect, give the respect that's due everything that he's put in our place, in our lives.
Amen.
You should respect yourself.
Amen.
Right? And if you respect something, you don't abuse it. So when I respect you, you respect me, we respect each other, then we are respecting God. Did not Jesus say that in so much as you've done it to the least of these little ones, you've done it unto me? So when I do something for you, when I respect you, I'm respecting him. Right? And it would be better for you, speaking of that same scripture, it would be better for you, because if you offend someone, it would be better for a millstone to be cast around their neck. So he's quoting that. He says, and it would be better for you that a millstone was hanged around your neck than, and you were drowned in the depths of the sea than to offend one of them. For I say to you, behold, their angel always behold the face, a Father's face which is in heaven. We know that they are. That we being children of God, that we are a part of God, and God demands this respect. And God shows who his children are. He shows it by wonders and signs, and that it's being done. And so, there is a certain amount of respect that is due one another because of who we are. Now, the word respect, and this is not just to try to play on words. I looked this up. The word respect means to look back or look again. You know, when you redo something, re-inspect is spectacle, like glasses. Respect. So it's to look again.
Right?
So respect, when God is saying respect, he doesn't want us just to kind of glance, oh yeah, that's brother so-and-so, that's just sister so-and-so, and just go on about it. No, he wants you to respect, he wants you to look back at him again. Look at that person, look at what they are, look at what he created them to be, look at the gifts in their life and their abilities, look what they are, and have respect to it, right? Recognize God's creation, and don't misplace it. Give honor to those things that God has put in place. Don't just look at it and go on. Look again.
Mm-hmm.
Respect it. Relook at it. Look at it and consider and begin and learn, because it's something that's been placed here, and especially those that's placed here in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Especially people, right? You know, you might disrespect a sunset or whatever, but when you disrespect people, right? Now, that's where it really lays a problem. And so when you look again, go look back at God's creation and God's people, look back at them and see what they are and learn to appreciate what God made them to be, because what they are is to be a blessing to you.
Right.
There's something about every one of us in this room right here that each one of us can be blessed by.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that can only happen when that person can be what God made them to be.
That's right.
Right? So there are several aspects here. Let people be what they are. Don't require them to be something they're not. Don't require them to put on something that they're not. Let them be themselves. And in themselves, the gifts of God lay there to be a blessing to you in some form or fashion. Look at that, consider it, re-look at it, reconsider it, and begin to appreciate what they are and actually receive of the blessings that comes to you because their presence in your life.
Amen.
Yes, the presence of your children in your life. Children to your parents. Look at them. Reconsider what it means to be in their position. And there's a respect that goes to that. So appreciate people and their talents and their beauty and their attributes, because they're a creation of God. So what you're doing is to respect what God has put here for you to enjoy. Right? You're here for me to enjoy, and I'm here for you to enjoy. You're here to enjoy each other. Remember where the scriptures talk about we're all one body. And in this body, there's many members. There's fingers, there's arms, you know, chest, feet. We're all different members. They all have different reason, different purpose. And if any part of that body is missing, then that body is incomplete. Right? So as a body of Christ, every one of you belong in there. And that body, if you took that person out, that body would not be complete. And every member has something to contribute to that body. And the rest of the body is blessed by the presence of that other member. So every member, the body is blessed by every member. And so, looking at it from this standpoint here. And so, you look at it and recognize this is something God's put in your life to bless you. And look at it, how it impacts your life. Look at your brothers and sisters and consider what they've done in your life. The positive impact that they make. And then give honor and respect that belongs them. Look at what they are to you. Look at what they bring to your life, especially when they labor to do it. Amen?
Amen.
Because God sent each one of us here for a purpose. So when you do look back a second time or a third time and re-examine the people in your life and even yourself, when you look at it, you're looking at something that's more precious than gold. You know what makes gold precious? Because it's rare, and it's got qualities about it that make it special. But it's rare. There are some things more rare than that.
Yeah.
There are other minerals that are more rare than gold. But it's considered to be valuable because there's not a lot of it compared to everything else.
Yeah.
Right? You're one of a kind. There's only one of you. What does that make you? You're very rare.
Amen.
There's not another one like you.
That's right.
And what you can do for this body, for your family, your brothers, your sisters, no one else can do that.
That's right.
Now, I said you've got to have respect for yourself. You've got to recognize the gifts of God in your own life and realize that's what it's there for. And don't stifle that. Don't hide it. Let those gifts be a blessing.
Amen.
Live for others. Do for others. Be what you are. Those of you that can sing, can play instruments, look at the blessings of song service because of the gifts and their willingness and to come and do those things. They're serving God. They're serving the body. And we should have respect for those things. Because when you respect them, you're respecting God.
Right?
Right? I think probably all of us know we should have respect to God. But God's not just sitting up there in heaven. God is down in his people.
Yeah.
And in his word. And in things that are going on. And he's in missions trips.
Yeah.
And we want to have respect for those things. And know that he's over all of it. And so, look at those things and what it means. And realize that you're looking at something that is more valuable than gold, because it's rare. So every one of us are rare, because there's only one of a kind. And every one of us are rich, because we possess something that's very rare. In the world, man considers gold and silver and those things, because they're rarity, they place high value on. But I'm telling you that God places high value on you.
That's right.
Because you're rare. Amen?
Amen.
So learn to look back and look at the things that God has put in your life and have a respect for them and draw from their uniqueness. We all want to believe that we are, and we are. God created us with our own uniqueness. Now you might say, Brother Tony, today's Mother's Day, and I thought you was going to talk about mothers. And I'm going to tell you I am. Because I can't think of another word that can be used that could really be due mothers, good mothers, the respect. Because they are, as what everything I've said, a gift sent here to you. All that applies to mothers. I can't think of a better thing to say that mothers should be honored. You know, we know from the message that mothers are the greatest for a husband. The greatest gift that God could give you as a man, other than just salvation, that you can be saved, the next thing is to give you a good wife. And I can go ahead and say that the best thing that you children can have is a good mother. Good mother. That doesn't take away the value of a father, because you could talk about those too. But today being Mother's Day, I just want to say a few words about mothers. So, she is the greatest gift that God could give a husband. You know, as we said the other day, you know, a woman, a bad wife, is like water in his blood. Waters down his life, ruins his life. But a good woman can take a man that's maybe not the best in the world, can make the greatest out of him. A good wife makes all the difference in the world. She makes up the home, really. You know, the children, whenever children are born, who gets them first? Mama does.
Right.
It's her heartbeat that they hear when they're being formed in the womb. It's her voice that they begin to recognize first. It's her eyes that they look at as they begin to develop. It's that face that they see the most. It's that voice, it's that care and that tenderness that God put in there that each one of us saw first. And so we understand that Brother Graham tells us that womanhood is the backbone of every nation.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you want to make a change, you might not be able to make it yourself, but you could train your children, and when they grow up, they could make a change because of what you instilled in them. That's why Abraham Lincoln made that statement. If there's anything from him, in him, that would be good, it's because of a mother that prayed for him. And I can say that for me as for a grandmother who prayed for me, right, and stood in the gap for me, believed in me,
yeah.
You know. And so she becomes the backbone of every nation, because if you break motherhood, you break the whole nation. Why? Because if she no longer teaches godliness into her children, the next generation are ungodly people.
Yep.
Right? And God holds her responsible for how she trains those children. And it's, you know, that's why, listen, I'm trying to be a blessing to mamas, but I'm also telling you how important it is. When the scripture said a child that's left to themselves will bring their mother to shame. Didn't say it bring father to shame. It brings shame to the father. But it didn't say why. Because that child is there with mom. And she makes the most impact. And after dad's plumb gone, mom is still the hitching post.
Yeah.
Right? As you've seen, you know, the kids will still come home. Why? Because of the power of motherhood. And even after dad's gone, they're still that way. And so, you know, everything in this world is backwards. Because Satan makes it that way. It's his purpose to make this world see things backward from what God's perfect plan is.
Right.
And that's what they do. But when you look at things through God's plans, the most powerful position that a woman can have is a mother.
That's right.
She can change more of this world as a mother than she can in some boardroom somewhere. You know, I know that's taboo to this world, but I'm answering to God, not to this world. I'm telling you, that's what, and I listened to an article today, it was an interview, and studies have shown this. These women who become lawyers, and they work their way up and become very successful lawyers, and actually become so successful that they become partners in the firm. They own the firm. And they're like 39 years old or 35 years old, and they've hit the top. because they went through, and the studies show it in pretty good numbers of these women that turn around and walk away from that whole thing because they want to go home and be mama.
That's right.
Because it's in them to be mama. Mm-hmm. It's in there unless you have something, unless you let the world snuff that out. There's something God put in there that's the most powerful thing that you could ever be, is to be a mother. Because a mother has a love for children that even dad doesn't have. Right? Right? He said, dad loves his children, but it's a different thing. It's all God's creation, the way he makes it work. And so, you know, in the world today, they think, oh, a woman that's having kids and staying at home, she's nothing. That's oppressive. That's what the world tells you.
Right.
But that's not what God says.
Yeah.
And God knows, because we're his creation. Right? Now, people, if they want to change and do whatever, then they can reap what they sow by changing and living different than God's word. But people who walk with the Lord know that God is right. And that's the way to have a most blessed life, is to stick with God. And so, mothers are the backbone of the nation. Make a big difference in their lives of the children. And then the children go out and live. And so, mothers are one of the greatest gifts that God ever put to here. Now, because she's gifted to be mother, no man can do that. Right? We live in a world where it's like, you know, they're like, oh, it takes a whole community or whatever they say to raise a child. No, it doesn't. It takes a mom and a dad that's together in holy matrimony living for God, and they'll raise that child just right. It doesn't take a community or whatever, however the phrase is. You know, and so, but mom is gifted to be mother. God has equipped her with the ability to do things as a mother that no one else can do. Not even another woman can do that. If you're a mom and that your children, that's your job. That's your responsibility. And you're gifted to do it.
Yeah.
And but you got to listen to that gift, respect that gift that's in you, respect your position as a mother and what you have the power to do to change lives, and do it. Don't let something snuff that out,
yeah.
Right? So respect yourself, but then respect your children, and realize, listen, I have an obligation to my children to live right and to train them right and treat them right. There's a correct way to correct a child. Don't do it in anger.
Right.
Remember where Brother Ram telling about, or Billy Paul telling about, that Billy Paul swatted one of his little boys in the wrong spirit, and Brother Ram told him, he said, you angered the angel of the Lord for doing that. See, there's a proper respect, there's a proper way to handle things, and even when you have to be firm, there's a right spirit and a proper way to do it. And so, mom is gifted to be mom. And once she becomes mom and she has them children, and that kicks in, everybody understand what I'm saying? Don't you trifle with it. Because she's now Mama Bear. You know, Mama Bear.
Yeah.
Right? Don't you try to get in between her and her child.
Right.
Because you'll lose. When you fight with Mama Bear, you'll lose. This is a good word for the men, right? For husbands. You might say, I married her and that's my wife or whatever. You get between her and them kids, you challenge that mama bear, you're going to lose. Right? You're going to lose. What's the best thing that a man can do is recognize that gift of mama in there and go with it. Work with it. Don't try to snuff it out and override it, but let mom be mom. Let that gift be what it is. Right? Respect it. Look at it again. Look what it does for your home.
Right.
Look what it's capable of doing. When you don't know what to do, and she walks in, oh, I know exactly what's wrong. Because she's mom. Recognize that gift and honor it and respect it and go with it. Don't try to challenge it and change it. Let it be mom.
Right.
Because it's what moves the world. Not dad overriding it and someone else telling her, this is what you should do. Because she's gifted to be mom.
Right.
That she can take care of these things, and she knows. And so, you'll lose if you fight with Mama Bear. We was hiking a couple of years ago up in Glacier. My wife had a shirt on, had a picture, and it said Mama Bear. And we were going down the mountain, and some other people coming up, and there was one woman, she looked at my wife's shirt, and she didn't look like she was very happy about it, you know, but Mama Bear. So, a husband might say, well, you know what, I'm a ruler of the house. And you are. God makes you responsible. You are the ruler of the house. But submit yourself to motherhood. So how many's heard me say, yeah, you know, I'm head of the house at my house. But my wife, our house is her domain. Right? That doesn't mean she bosses me around and just whatever. What does that mean? It means that, you know, when she sets up a pattern of how she wants to clean house or how she wants things to be done, and when she says, you're not tracking mud in here on my carpet. I'm the man. I'll do what I want. And what kind of marriage you going to have? But what should you do? Recognize that gift and submit yourself to it. So I put her, I said, this is your house, this is your domain. As a mother, you have a certain domain, a certain area, and when I step into that, I'm going to submit myself to the very thing I put you in charge for. That make sense? Right? Same way, you know, she has a respect to me and there's in those things. And yeah, when I feel like I need to override something, I can, and I do. But you see what I'm saying? So, when you just have this macho thing like that, and I'm going to do this, and I know what that baby needs, not what you think, you're headed for disaster. You must recognize the gift of mom and let her be what she is. And so, regardless of the fact that you're head of the house, because she's dynamic at being mom, in her capacity to be mom, she can be much more than you'll ever be trying to be mom.
Right?
Because you're not gifted to do that. Now, you can apply this to every aspect of your life, right? Don't try to be something you're not. But brother, sister, what you are, no one can replace it. Nobody can do it better than you. And I know you've heard that before. And so, yes, men should recognize that gift of mom and submit to it. If you understand the balance there. You say, God would never want a man to do that. Well, you know, in Scripture, Sarah, when Abraham and Sarah had kids, right? She had Ishmael and then Isaac. And Sarah, because Ishmael was making fun of Isaac, right? Mm-hmm. And Ishmael was the firstborn, which the blessing should have went to Ishmael because he was firstborn. Mm-hmm. And Isaac come along after that. But Ishmael began to make fun of Isaac. And Sarah went to Abraham and said, cast that woman, the mother of Ishmael, and that child, cast them out, for they shall not be heir with my son. Sarah went to Abraham. Abraham was a prophet. God spoke to him all the time, did great wonders to protect. And yet, Sarah is the one that came up with this idea. Right? And God spoke to Abraham and said, listen to her.
Yep.
Do what she said. Right? So now where's the macho idea?
Right.
It's not the macho idea. It's always listening to God. And sometimes God can speak through a wife.
That's right.
That's right. Sometimes a wife will see something and you're about to make a mistake and she'll say, honey, what about this? And you'll realize that's a better idea.
Amen.
And if you can't do that, you need to go back and start talking to God and become sensitive to God, because God can speak to you through your child. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make them an authority over you. That means them a gift of God in your life that you should have a certain amount of respect for and be able, that child, to be that and God work through that and be a blessing to your life, just like anything else.
Yeah.
And so Even the New Testament counted that. That became the Word of God when Sarah said that. Became God, the whole pattern that the firstborn, the Jews, were not going to be heir, but the Gentiles would be because they come later. You understand the whole, we could go a long ways with that. So there was a place in the scriptures where there was a woman, she had a husband, and the prophet come through traveling. And the woman said to her husband, "Let us build a place, a little room or whatever, for this prophet who comes through all the time. Let's build him a little room so that when he comes through, he can stop and rest himself."
Yeah.
She said it. Mm-hmm. Why didn't God talk to the husband and tell him to do it?
Right.
See? And so she did that. You know, they were childless. She did that. She said that. And so her husband went with it. So they built a place, and the prophet come and stay there. And so when the prophet come there and stay there, said, "What can we do for this woman?" Ask his servant, "What can we do for this woman?" And his servant said, "She's childless." So he called her. She comes standing there, and he said, "Thus saith the Lord, you're going to have a child." That's not the exact wording, but you understand the story. See, God can speak through mama. And so they're barren. But the whole thing was changed because of a mother and respect. And here's what the prophet said about her. He said, she had respect to God's servant who was coming through traveling and made a place. She had respect for him, and therefore God had respect for her. Right? And so that's what we want to do. So if you have a good mother, you need to respect her. You need to let her be mom. And that means there's a certain capacity, a certain reciprocation, and don't abuse it. Don't abuse motherhood. Don't say, "Well, I know mom will cover for me. She'll, you know," and just draw from her till she's exhausted. Let mom just freely be mom.
Yes.
And that's the same way with everyone else. Let people just be what they are. Because if you begin to extract from them more than it becomes a burden, more than they're willing to share, you understand? We live for one another, but let it flow naturally. Like I said, you know, my wife and I, we're grandparents now. We're not parents. We are parents, but we're not in the mode of being parents. We're now grandparents.
Yeah.
So let us be grandparents, right? We want to be grandparents. We've worked hard to get here, right? So we want to be grandparents. So you understand, there's cycles of life, and there's the phases of these things, but in all cycles and all phases, as we interact, there's a certain respect that we should have. And when we respect each other and the gifts and whatever they are, whether it's up, going upward or downward, we're respecting God.
Yeah.
And if you respect God, God will respect you and do something for you.
That's right.
If you have disrespect for God, then it comes out bad. Right, it can. Many, many times, not just in Bible, but even in Brother Brown's own life, when people were disrespectful for him, and some of them within 2 hours were dead. Not that he did anything, but because they were disrespected God, that gift of God, because they were harsh against the preacher for a sermon or something like that. See, because they didn't respect God, then things happened to them. Some of them were dead within days or within hours. Some of them were within insane institutes from thereafter. Many things like, and so I ask you, as this woman who in the Bible, she respected God and got blessings from it, then there's all these cases also where people were not respectful to God and bad things happened. And so we should always think about, hey, how have I responded? How have I acted toward people? How have I acted toward the gifts of God around me? Because sometimes if we're not acting right, you might find out that things we go through sometimes is because we've done wrong.
Right.
You must recognize it. But also, it's the same concept of sowing and reaping. Mm-hmm. When you sow something, you get back a lot more than you sow.
Yeah.
So if you sow bad things, you get bad, a lot of bad things back. But also, if you sow good things, you get good things back. A lot more of it.
Mm-hmm.
And God is the Lord of the harvest. He controls how much you get back, because sometimes you get a bumper crop, sometimes you don't get a bumper crop.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's the same concept here. It's how we treat each other. Because like I said at the beginning, a large portion of the message is how Christ is now in us and how it makes us live. That's what it's all about now. It's not so much about all the God-centered prophet and all that, but it's come down now as to that this thing that God has done throughout ages now has come down and is residing in us. It's and what's on display right now with the bride walking down the aisle to see how she's arrayed and how beautiful she is, that's where we're at now. The whole thing is looking at who is this bride? What is it that God has done in her? What makes her different than all the other churches in the world that God calls her his bride? That's the focus. It's on her. Because the book of Revelation, the end of the Bible, ends up by saying, "To rejoice because the marriage of the Lamb has come." The marriage of, the marriage of Christ, Jesus, the Son of God, the Lamb, his marriage has come. Well, that if there's a marriage come, that means he's got a wife. He's got a bride.
Yeah.
And that's what the scripture said, Revelation 19. Rejoice. And give honor to God. Rejoice. Why? Because this plan of redemption throughout all the thousand years has finally come to the place where there's going to be a marriage. This Son of God has finally got a church that is virtuous enough that he can marry her. Right? And it says, for that bride, it was granted to her that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, which is the righteousness of the saints. Right? So, it has been given her the ability to be dressed in the proper apparel for marriage. If you're going to be marrying the Son of God, there's a proper apparel for that wedding.
Yeah.
And I ask you, what is that? Is that being disrespectful to everyone? Is that being like the world? Or is that being like Christ?
Right.
That's the difference. That's the difference between the rest of the church world, and we know it's a Bible thing. There are churches, 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 and he counts them in his own word as whores and harlots. That's the words he uses. And how many knows that's the truth? In his own Bible. But he speaks about a virtuous one. One church that is virtuous. And I'm not talking about one church like this here, but one people in this earth that have let him make her ready, that she's put on that garment, and he says, now we can have this wedding supper. Now there's a church on earth that he's willing to marry because she's virtuous like him. Right? That's where we're at. And so all these things matter. And so we need to look around and we need to respect. We need to re-examine every person and everything we do. And ask yourself, am I giving that proper consideration? And do I really understand what that is in my life and what it's here for? What did God make them to be? And how's that a blessing to me? And then there's a certain amount of respect that you should give back to that and then to you.
Amen.
Amen. May the Lord bless you as the musicians come. We'll bow our hearts in prayer. Every head bowed. I hope myself this morning that this sermon has challenged you. I know because it is the word of the Lord that it has spoke to every heart. There's no question about that. It's not my word. And because it's not my word, it is his word, then I know it has spoken to every heart. And so as you sit there in your seat, you know that there's aspect or places in your life where God has touched his finger this morning. You know it's speaking to you. And all he's asking you to do is that you would surrender that part of your life to him. Just to start in God's direction, all you have to do is just start, even making small steps. But I can assure you that if you'll move toward God even one little bit, he'll definitely respond back. And a journey of 10,000 miles starts with one step. You may feel like, you know what, I've lived as a sinner for so long, I don't know how I would ever get to God. How would I ever get to that place? But a journey of 10,000 miles starts with one step. And that's all God's asking you this morning. What he's spoken to you this morning, what he has spoken into your heart and into your heart is pricked on, just that one thing he's asking you, would you give that to me? That's all you have to do is take that one step. Surrender that to him. Promise him that you'll give that to him and you'll bring that under subjection to his word and watch how he will bless you as we pray. Lord, as we come to the end of the service now, and knowing, God, that this word has challenged your people, Lord, it challenges me. But that's good because that's what it should do. Lord, we don't want to just walk through this life and continue on the same, because we're getting nowhere if we're not making ground. But God, we want to make progress. And so this morning, as you've spoken to us, I pray, Lord, that each one of us, that we'll be able to surrender to you what we've heard this morning, that we're challenged to give to you and ask for help from you. And I pray, God, that each one, as we pray now, that that's what they're doing in their seats, Lord, that they'll be asking you for help in these things. Lord, because you knew before the world was each person that would be here today and what would be on their hearts and needs they would have. Now, Lord, I believe you have spoken something this morning to touch each one. So I pray, God, that which you have done, you said in your word that you that have began a good work, you will finish it. You will complete it until the day of the Lord Jesus. And so, God, we're surrendered to you now. Each of these things, Lord, we ask, God, that you take control now. I ask it in Jesus' name. This Sunday, I'm going to church. made a decision. See, the prophet told us that, you know, when you raise your hand to the Lord, he said that you have to defy gravity. You get your arm to go up that way. And he said that means there's a decision in your heart to do that. And so God sees that. So how many want to lift your hand this morning, defy gravity, and say, God, there's something that you spoke to me this morning, and I'm giving that to you. Raise your hand to me. Amen. He sees that hand, and he knows that decision down in your heart has made the difference. And that's where it starts. For me, it just started that one day. I said, you know what? I'm going to the house of God. And I have missed very, very few. And I'm not talking about attendance record. That's what I'm saying. Make a decision. Start with small steps. And before you know it, you'll be past 18 years serving God all those years. And only eternity will be able to tell how many lives that you've touched.